forms.
From the University of Kansas, this is KPR, Kansas Public Radio.
Support for KPR comes from the Lawrence Art Guild, presenting the annual Art in the Park, September 13th and 14th at South Park in downtown Lawrence. Art, live music, and food. Details at lawrenceartguild.org.
It's 91 degrees in Lawrence, 90 in Topeka. It's 6:06.
This is NPR News.
From the University of Kansas, it's Kansas Public Radio, 91.5 FM in Lawrence, 91.3 FM in Junction City, many, many other frequencies all around the state. Hats off to our engineering crew, keeping it all up and running, and hats off to our web guy, Danny. Through him, you can listen to us online at kansaspublicradio.org.
Support for KPR comes from Audio Readers Audio Sale, a benefit sale of vinyl records, audio equipment, and more at the Lawrence Public Library, Saturday, September 13th. More information online at reader.ku.edu/audio sale.
Still to come, another 41 glorious minutes of All Things Considered. We will have news headlines at 6:30. Then we will learn more about the Trump administration's cuts to USAID and the result that has appeared in HIV care infrastructure in Africa. Spoiler alert, it's not really good news. We will also be learning more about Brightline West. This is a company that is betting it can build the first true high-speed rail line in the U.S. We will learn about the fact that you can get a degree in mariachi, from a university in this nation. We'll talk about it coming up on KPR.
Support for KPR comes from the Manhattan Arts Center, presenting Legally Blonde the Musical, following Elle Woods as she heads to Harvard Law. Running September 12th to 14th and 19th through the 21st. Details at manhattanarts.org.
It's 91 degrees in Lawrence, 90 in Emporia. It's 6:20.
This is NPR News.
Reporting on the war in Gaza, NPR correspondent Ari Daniel met a surgeon trying to treat children injured in the violence. One patient, a 6-year-old girl who had lost an arm.
What I think about in terms of my reporting is establishing trust, especially when it comes to a child in these particular circumstances.
What the words of a child can tell us about a war, on All Things Considered, from NPR News.
Tune in tomorrow afternoon at 4 o'clock on your KPR stations for Weekend All Things Considered.
This month's KPR Community Spotlight is on Prairie Paws Animal Shelter, serving Ottawa, Manhattan, and Emporia. Prairie Paws connects pets with new homes through adoption services, helping to ensure that every animal gets a second chance. More at prairiepaws.org.
Stay tuned. News headlines are coming up next. It's 91 degrees in Lawrence, and it's 6:30.
But we'll continue with its strike contingency plan, which includes hiring replacement workers. For NPR News, I'm Olivia Mizell in St. Louis.
This is NPR.
For Kansas Public Radio News, I'm Laura Lorson with your regional headlines. Kansas Governor Laura Kelly has ordered flags lowered to half-staff in remembrance of all victims and survivors of political violence. In a statement, Kelly mentioned conservative activist Charlie Kirk, who was killed this week in Utah. She also named the Minnesota House Speaker Emerita Melissa Hortman, a Democratic politician who was also slain in an act of political violence. The governor's executive order directs all flags to be lowered until sundown Sunday. Despite the best-looking sorghum crop in years, Kansas farmers likely will not reap the benefits because of a fickle international market. In 2022, the price of sorghum was over $6 per bushel. Today, it's under $3. Over half of the state's sorghum is exported, almost all of it to China, for animal feed or to make a popular alcoholic drink. Amy France, who is chair of the National Sorghum Producers, says the financial pain is real in farm country right now.
China has been our number one export market. With that being gone at the moment, it is difficult leaving our producers without our single most critical outlet.
Sorghum exports to China are down 97% compared to last year as a result of China's retaliatory tariffs on the United States. World Cup organizers in Kansas City, Missouri have extended the deadline for volunteering for next year's event. It's been moved back to early October. Jody Fortino explains.
KC 2026, the group that's planning the event, needs 6,000 volunteers to help at activities around Kansas City, including at Arrowhead Stadium, the airport, and the FIFA Fan Festival downtown. Volunteers need to be at least 18 years old and proficient in English. But the group said additional language skills are a plus. Applicants are also required to pass a background check and attend an in-person tryout session. Kansas City won't find out which teams will play here until the final draw on December 5th. I'm Jody Fortino.
Mostly clear skies tonight and humid with a low in the upper 60s. Tomorrow, sunshine with a high in the mid-90s. It is 90 degrees in Topeka. It's 635.
Support for You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.
Get caught up.
We are learning new information this morning about the lengthy.
Take a step back.
All right, what's really going on here?
And prepare for what's ahead.
Are you expecting a breakthrough this week?
Stay on top of the news with Morning Edition from NPR News every weekday.
You can hear Morning Edition 5 to 9 a.m. Monday through Friday on your KPR stations. From the University of Kansas, this is KPR, Kansas Public Radio, 91.5 FM in Lawrence, 96.1 FM in Lawrence, and many other frequencies all around the state. You can listen online at kansaspublicradio.org, where we stream both KPR 1 and KPR 2.
Support for KPR comes from the Dole Institute of Politics, presenting Turning Research, Policy Solutions, and Civic Engagement into Results for Kansas Women, with United We CEO Wendy Doyle. September 24th. More at DoleInstitute.org.
Thanks so much for tuning in. We have a bit more All Things Considered yet to come before we head into a very busy weekend when it comes to community events. Wherever you're headed, take KPR along with you.
Support for KPR comes from Panda Pediatrics, providing pediatric primary care, mental health, dental, and a walk-in clinic for children from birth to age 21 at One Lawrence location. More information at pandapeds.com.
Film Music Friday is coming up following the 7:01 news if you're listening on KPR1 stations. If you're joining us on KPR2, stick around for Snap Judgment. It's going to be a muggy night. Humid conditions, lows in the upper 60s. It's 91 degrees in Lawrence at 10 minutes before 7.
Listening to All Things Considered from NPR News. Support for NPR comes from this station and from Mathnasium. Whether students are ahead of the curve or need extra support, Mathnasium's goal is to build skills and confidence through personalized math instruction to help students achieve their potential this school year. Learn more at mathnasium.com. From Easy Cater, committed to helping organizations order and manage food for all their business needs. With online ordering from restaurants nationwide, employee meal programs, and tools to control food expenses at easycater.com. From Visit St. Pete Clearwater, Florida, where visitors can unwind on white sand beaches and dine at restaurants. More at visitspc.com. And from the listeners who support this NPR station.
You might hear some people you agree with on Morning Edition and some you don't. That's the point. Different views for a full picture of the news. Listen weekdays from NPR News.
Monday through Friday, 5 to 9 a.m. Join us for Morning Edition, a great way to start off your day with the very latest news from around the nation, around the world, and around the region.
Support for KPR comes from Audio Readers Audio Sale, a benefit sale of vinyl records, audio equipment, and more at the Lawrence Public Library, Saturday, September 13th. More information online at reader.ku.edu/audio sale.
We're live, we're local, we are Kansas Public Radio from the University of Kansas, KANU, and KANU HD1, Lawrence 91.5, KANH and KANH HD1, Emporia 89.7, KANV and KANV HD1, Olsburg Junction City 91.3, KANQ Chanute 90.3, listen on the web at kansaspublicradio.org, or tell your smart speaker to play Kansas Public Radio.
Support for KPR comes from KJHK, hosting their fall membership drive September 17th through September 21st. Information on how to support KJHK is available at kjhk.org.
Stay tuned. We have news headlines, then star date, then 2 hours of classic film music. Tonight, focusing on music from Westerns, including the score we are hearing in the background right now, Silverado, the great Bruce Broughton piece, and many, many more. Stay tuned. Daryl Brogdon will be your host. Humid conditions tonight with a low in the upper 60s. Tomorrow, sunshine with a high in the mid-90s. It's 7:01, and the news is next.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Dan Ronan. The 22-year-old suspect in the Wednesday assassination of conservative activist Charlie Kirk is being held without bail in Utah. Tyler Robinson was captured late last night after authorities said he indicated to a family friend he was responsible for the shooting at Utah Valley University. NPR's Bobby Allen tells us family members said Robinson had become more political recently, and he had mentioned Kirk would be in Utah.
He doesn't have a criminal history. Public records show that he doesn't seem to be affiliated with any political party. He was a really bright student in high school. He even earned a scholarship to attend Utah State University. That's just north of here in Logan. But he dropped out after one semester. The university says that was back in 2021. More recently, Robinson's family noted that he's become more politically active, which is a really crucial point since authorities are calling Charlie Kirk's killing a political assassination.
It's expected charges will be filed against Robinson next week. Both Utah and federal officials have said they will seek the death penalty. President Trump says he's sending the National Guard to Memphis, Tennessee. NPR's Franco Ordonez reports on the next move in his federal crackdown on crime.
In an interview with Fox and Friends, President Trump says his administration would next target Memphis after hearing concerns raised by business leaders.
We're going to Memphis. I'm just announcing that now, and we'll straighten that
National
out.
National Guard?
The National Guard and anybody else we need. And by the way, we'll bring in the military, too, if we need it.
Trump said he would have preferred his next target to be Chicago, but he's faced resistance from the mayor and Illinois governor. Last month, Trump sought to use emergency powers to take over control of the Metropolitan Police Department. He deployed National Guard soldiers and sent hundreds of federal law enforcement officials to the Capitol. Trump's also floated the idea of sending troops to New York and Baltimore. Franco Ordonez, NPR News, New York.
Missouri lawmakers have approved a new congressional map that carves the Kansas City area into 3 separate districts. As Salisa Kalakala of member station KCUR reports, it's the latest move by President Trump concerning redistricting.
Opponents are hoping to block the new map in court or in a public referendum. The Kansas City Council has authorized the city attorney to take legal action, opening the door to a possible lawsuit. The ACLU of Missouri has already filed a lawsuit calling the map unconstitutional. Kansas City Councilman Jonathan Duncan said the new map disenfranchises black and brown voters.
It is not about representing all of America. It is about representing a very specific portion of America, and it is a sad day.
The new map now goes to Missouri Governor Mike Kehoe for a signature. For NPR News, I'm Salisa Kalakal in Kansas City.
You're listening to NPR.
Support for NPR comes from the Wallace Foundation, an independent, nonpartisan research foundation collaborating with grantees and partners in the arts, school leadership, and youth development. More at wallacefoundation.org. From the University of Kansas, this is your place to find NPR News, Kansas Public Radio.
Stardate September 12th. The Milky Way is packed with star clusters, thousands of them. They contain anywhere from a few dozen stars to more than a million. And the most impressive of them all is right in the middle. It surrounds the supermassive black hole at the heart of the galaxy. The nuclear star cluster contains up to 10 million stars. They extend a couple of dozen light years from the black hole in every direction. But most of them are packed in close. If our part of the galaxy were that densely settled, we'd have a million stars closer to us than our current closest neighbor, Alpha Centauri. So any planets in the cluster would never see a dark night. Most of the stars in the cluster formed about 10 billion years ago, when the galaxy was young. But there was another wave of starbirth about 3 billion years ago, and a smaller one just 100 million years ago. Each wave might have been triggered when the Milky Way swallowed a smaller galaxy. As the galaxies merged, clouds of gas and dust settled in the middle, around the Milky Way's black hole. That gave birth to new stars, populating the galaxy's most impressive cluster. The cluster is in Sagittarius, which is due south at nightfall. The constellation looks like a teapot. The center of the galaxy is in the steam rising from the spout. But giant clouds of dust absorb the light from the galaxy's heart, so it takes special instruments to see the cluster. We have more skywatching tips and much more about the universe in Stardate magazine. Details at stardate.org. For the University of Texas McDonald Observatory, I'm Billy Henry.
That's the main title theme from Silverado, composed by Bruce Broughton, played there by the City of Prague Philharmonic on KPR's Film Music Friday. I'm Daryl Brogdon. Welcome to the show that celebrates the music of the movies every week. Tonight, we're going to take another run at the Western. According to the American Film Institute, the Western is a film that's set in the American West that embodies the spirit, the struggle, and the demise of the new frontier. Westerns flourished between about 1930 and the mid-1950s, when close to 3,000 Western films were produced. Coming up, music from Westerns that we've not played before on Film Music Friday, including Guns of the Magnificent Seven, Cimarron, and Virginia City. For so many years, John Wayne was the face of the American Western, and a passion project that he starred in and directed is The Alamo, 1960, all about the small band of soldiers who battled the Mexican army at the Alamo in San Antonio. By this time, composer Dmitri Tiomkin had already worked on classic westerns like Gunfight at the OK Corral and Rio Bravo. For The Alamo, he delivers a really monumental score, and here's some of it. A suite from The Alamo by Dmitri Tiomkin on KPR.
Thank you.
Dmitri Tiomkin's epic music for The Alamo, here on KPR and Film Music Friday. It won a Golden Globe Award as Best Original Score. On tonight's Film Music Friday, we are again out west with some fabulous film scores for the American West. Still to come, Franz Waxman's Pioneer Suite, which includes music from three different westerns. A rivalry renewed and a win for KPR, though KU football did not top Mizzou. Kansas Public Radio listeners came through in the Radio Rivals fundraiser. Thanks to your generosity, we beat Missouri's KBIA and proved once again that Jayhawk fans support what matters. Independent, community-driven radio. Thank you for playing along, for pitching in, and for giving us this sweet victory, Rock Chalk KPR. From the University of Kansas, your place to find Film Music Friday and NPR News is Kansas Public Radio, 91.5 Lawrence, 91.3 Junction City, and online at kansaspublicradio.org. That's music by Elmer Bernstein for Guns of the Magnificent Seven, the third film about a group of hired gunfighters, in this case hired to rescue the leader of a Mexican revolution who's been imprisoned by the bad guys. This is Film Music Friday, and I'm Darryl Brogdon. Thanks a lot for joining us tonight here on Kansas Public Radio stations. Up ahead, a Western with Humphrey Bogart and Errol Flynn. That's what happens in 1940s Virginia City, featuring a score by the great Max Steiner. Support for Film Music Friday on KPR comes from Maselli's in downtown Lawrence, featuring Final Fridays in the Maselli's Lounge with the Lawrence Opera Theater for a night of music and cocktails. Show begins at 7:30 p.m. Friday, September 26th. Tickets at MasellisOnline.com. Well, next, as we continue to survey music from Western films, it's the Pioneer Suite. This is music from three different Westerns, all with music by Franz Waxman. He didn't work on a lot of Westerns, and really none until about 1950. The Pioneer Suite includes music from Red Mountain, Cimarron, and The Indian Fighter. This is the Queensland Symphony Orchestra, conducted by Richard Mills, on KPR. We'll be right back. On Kansas Public Radio, Franz Waxman's Pioneer Suite, featuring music drawn from three westerns, Red Mountain, Cimarron, and The Indian Fighter. NPR News is ahead at 8:01 tonight, and on Film Music Friday this week, we're hearing music for westerns, with some films we've not featured before on the show. Support for Film Music Friday on KPR comes from KJHK, hosting their fall membership drive Wednesday through Sunday, September 21st. Information on how to support KJHK is available at kjhk.org. Well, now it's back to 1944, Virginia City, a Warner Brothers epic set during the Civil War. Errol Flynn's a Union officer who's out to intercept a gold shipment intended for the Confederacy. Along the way, he runs afoul of a bandit played by Humphrey Bogart, if you can imagine Bogart in a Western. Music for this film is by Warner Brothers' top composer, Max Steiner, who it seems didn't exactly relish the assignment. He called his work on the film a wasted effort and said the director, Michael Curtiz, must have been drunk. See what you think. Music by Max Steiner for Virginia City on KPR's Film Music Friday. That's music for Virginia City, 1940, composed by Max Steiner, here on KPR and Film Music Friday. This movie got mixed reviews, many agreeing with Max Steiner that it was just a big, noisy movie that fell far short of its potential, especially with a stellar cast that included Errol Flynn, Humphrey Bogart, and Randolph Scott. It's all Westerns on tonight's Film Music Friday. I'm Daryl Brogdon. We've got news next from NPR and in the 8 o'clock hour, music from films like Hang 'em High, The Virginian, and Last Train from Gun Hill. That's all ahead between 8 and 9 tonight on Kansas Public Radio stations. Say, if you happen to miss the weekly broadcast of Film Music Friday, you can catch up in a variety of ways. At kansaspublicradio.org, just click on Shows, and you can stream it on demand. With the free KPR app, you're able to listen to it on your smartphone or with the KPR skill enabled on your Amazon smart speakers. Whenever you say play KPR, you can also stream shows like Film Music Friday on demand anytime. Get the scoop at the website, kansaspublicradio.org.
The Manson Family Trials, Muhammad Ali and the 1966 Topeka Tornado. I'm Bill Curtis, and these are just a few moments from my time in journalism, told in my new book, Whirlwind, My Life Reporting the News. Join me for the book's debut on September 18th, 7:30 p.m. at Maselli's in downtown Lawrence. Tickets at kansaspublicradio.org under the Shop tab.
From the University of Kansas, it's your place to find Film Music Friday and NPR News. Kansas Public Radio. We're KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence, 91.5. KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia, 89.7. KANV and KANV HD1 Oldsburg Junction City, 91.3. And KANQ Chanute, 90.3. You can listen online at kansaspublicradio.org or tell your smart speakers to play Kansas Public Radio. There's another hour of Film Music Friday just ahead, right after the news from NPR. And support for news on Kansas Public Radio comes from Kansas Tree Care, local arborists who provide professional tree care in the greater Lawrence area, and who can be reached at kansastreecare.com or at 785-843-TREE. It's a minute past 8 o'clock.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Dan Ronan. President Trump is downplaying the significance of Russian drones flying into Poland's airspace. NPR's Franco Ordonez reports European leaders are pushing back.
In an interview with Fox and Friends, President Trump suggested that the incursion by Russian drones may have been an accident.
I'm
not going to defend anybody, but the Poland, they were actually knocked down and they fell into an area. But he shouldn't be close to Poland anyway.
The president said his patience with Russian President Vladimir Putin was, quote, sort of running out and running out fast, but added that it takes two to tango and suggested Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky was also part of the problem. Trump warned that he could bring stronger penalties against Russia, including sanctions on banks and the oil trade, but he also said the U.S. has done a lot already and that this is more of Europe's problem. Franco Ordonez, NPR News, New York.
President Trump said the head of the freight rail giant Union Pacific advised him he should send the National Guard troops to St. Louis to fight crime. St. Louis Public Radio's Rachel Lipman has local reaction.
Trump announced that he plans to send the Guard into Memphis at the suggestion of Union Pacific's Jim Venna. Trump said Venna then told him St. Louis should be next. The railroad confirmed the two men talked but would not comment on specifics. Megan Green is the president of the St. Louis Board of Aldermen. She says the city needs help from the National Guard, but not for crime fighting.
If St. Louis is on his mind, it needs to be on his mind for disaster response.
The city suffered nearly $1 billion worth of damage from an EF3 tornado in May. Serious crime in St. Louis is down 17% year to date. For NPR News, I'm Rachel Lipman in St. Louis.
Migrants sent by the United States to Guantanamo Bay, Cuba, have been moved to another part of the U.S. naval base there due to a water supply failure. That's raising more questions about whether Guantanamo can accommodate the 30,000 migrants President Trump says he wants to send there. NPR's Sasha Pfeiffer reports.
Guantanamo gets its drinking water from a treatment facility. And the Justice Department disclosed this week that in late August, there was a, quote, disruption to water service to the part of the base where the government's migrant operations center is. That's where the U.S. is holding what it calls low-threat aliens. So those migrants were transferred to a part of the base where, quote, high-threat aliens are held. The water supply isn't expected to be restored until at least September 19th. Critics of sending migrants to Guantanamo say the base's infrastructure is too primitive to hold large numbers of migrants there, and the water failure has added to their skepticism. Sasha Pfeiffer, NPR News.
Wall Street finished the week mixed. This is the Federal Reserve policymakers meet next week to possibly discuss cutting interest rates. This is NPR News.
Support for NPR comes from the George Lucas Educational Foundation, creator of Edutopia, dedicated to improving the learning experience for America's students by sharing what works in pre-K through 12 education at edutopia.org. From the University of Kansas, your place to find NPR News and Film Music Friday is Kansas Public Radio.
Thank you.
That's by Dominic Frontieri. Music for Hang 'em High, 1968. And here on Kansas Public Radio. If it's Friday, it's Film Music Friday. I'm Darryl Brogdon. Thank you so much for joining us here. Tonight, we are revisiting the Western, of which there have been thousands produced since the beginning of film. In this hour, we'll hear music for films like Last Train from Gun Hill, Death of a Gunfighter, and more. Right now, it's The Virginian, which began as a novel by Owen Wister in 1902. The story's been adapted for the stage and for film, so far with five different films based on The Virginian, dating back to 1914. There was also a long-running TV show. The 1946 version stars Joel McRae in the title role, with Brian Donlevy as his archenemy Trampas. The music is by Daniela Amfitheatrov, a Russian composer whose career began in the concert halls of Europe. He came to the States in 1939, where he composed film scores for both Paramount and MGM Studios. Here's some of his music for The Virginian on KPR. from the original soundtrack. Music for The Virginian, 1946, composed by Daniela Amfitheatrov. On KPR's Film Music Friday, this was the fourth of five film versions of the Owen Wister novel. Tonight on Film Music Friday, we're revisiting the Western. Coming up, Last Train from Gun Hill, a Technicolor Western starring Kirk Douglas and Anthony Quinn. It's ahead later in this hour. Support for Film Music Friday on KPR comes from the Lawrence Arts Center and the Downtown Underground Concert Series, presenting Welcome to the Machine, a Pink Floyd 50th anniversary, September 12th through 14th. Information and tickets at lawrenceartscenter.org. Here's an invitation to join us tomorrow afternoon at 1 p.m. for Classics by Request on KPR. That's when your host Destiny will be featuring some classical music that's been requested by our listeners. So join us, Classics by Request. It's tomorrow afternoon, 1 to 4, right here on KPR. From the University of Kansas, your place to find Film Music Friday and NPR News is Kansas Public Radio, 91.5 Lawrence, 89.7 Emporia, and online at kansaspublicradio.org. That's Elmer Bernstein once again with music for the film Cannon for Cordoba, 1970, on Kansas Public Radio. This film is sort of an American version of the spaghetti western. It was shot in Spain about a small band of soldiers who sneak into Mexico to steal back some cannons taken by General Cordova. We're out west tonight on Film Music Friday as we hear music for some westerns not previously heard on Film Music Friday. Just ahead, Death of a Gunfighter, a film with a troubled history but an interesting score by jazz composer Oliver Nelson. Next, we're back to 1959 and Last Train from Gun Hill, a big-budget epic starring Kirk Douglas as a U.S. Marshal who finds himself on opposite sides with his close friend, a cattle baron, played by Anthony Quinn. This film reunited several key members of the creative team behind Gunfight at the O.K. Corral, including director John Sturges, stars Kirk Douglas and Earl Holliman, and composer Dmitri Tiomkin. Just like with O.K. Corral and previously High Noon, Tiomkin created a central theme that he revisits several times during the score. Last Train from Gun Hill on KPR and Film Music Friday. We'll be right back.
We'll be right back.
from 1959. That's Dmitri Tiomkin's music for Last Train from Gun Hill. Tiomkin has the distinction of composing scores for several classic westerns of the 1950s, including High Noon, Gunfight of the OK Corral, and Rio Bravo. I'm Daryl Brogdon. This is Film Music Friday, where tonight we've gone west to hear some classic scores from American westerns. NPR News is just ahead at 9:01. This month's KPR Community Spotlight is on Prairie Paws Animal Shelter. Serving Ottawa, Manhattan, and Emporia, Prairie Paws connects pets with new homes through adoption services, helping to ensure that every animal gets a second chance. More at prairiepaws.org. Finally, tonight is a film from 1969 about the passing of the Old West, illustrated by a clash between a sheriff, played by Richard Widmark, who comes up against the politics and the demands of modern society. Music for this film is by Oliver Nelson, a composer who originally played in jazz bands and worked as an arranger for Thelonious Monk, Buddy Rich, and others. His score for this film is melancholy and tinged with some blues. Death of a Gunfighter on KPR.
Thank you. was like sweet apple wine. Each time his warm lips touch mine, and I would smile every time he looked at me. And when we walked in the sun, I never saw anyone I was too blinded with love to even see.
Oliver Nelson's music for Death of a Gunfighter, 1969 on KPR's Film Music Friday. That's Lena Horne singing the lyrics at the end there. She was one of the stars of the film. Oliver Nelson was originally a jazz musician, later an arranger and composer, and he moved into films and TV in the late 60s, where he wrote music for numerous TV shows, including Ironside and The $6 Million Man, plus several movies. Hey, thanks for listening to Film Music Friday. I'm Daryl Brogdon. I'll be back next week at this time with more music from the movies. Till then, you can listen to the show on demand at the KPR website, kansaspublicradio.org. Also, if you have the free KPR app, you can stream the show right to your smartphone. Or, with the KPR skill enabled on your Amazon smart speakers, you can get it there too. Details at kansaspublicradio.org. Support for Film Music Friday on KPR comes from Cromwell Solar. Since 1982, installing automatic backup battery systems for uninterrupted power for residential homes or businesses. More information at cromwellsolar.com. NPR News is up next. It's followed by Jazz in the Night, all right here for you on Kansas Public Radio.
Last week on Wait, Wait, we provided a model of reasoned debate.
Well, you shut up.
No, you shut up.
You shut up. No, you
this
shut
is
up.
The good
you
old days.
There we go.
I'm Peter Sagal. We'll be weighing the pros and cons with country music star Dierks Bentley. Join us for the show where both sides meet. That's Wait, Wait from NPR.
Tomorrow morning at 10 on KPR. From the University of Kansas, it's your place to find Film Music Friday and NPR News. Kansas Public Radio, KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence, 91.5, KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia, 89.7, KANV and KANV HD1 Oldsburg Junction City, 91.3, and KANQ Chanute at 90.3. Listen online at kansaspublicradio.org or just tell your smart speakers to play Kansas Public Radio.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Dan Ronan. Utah Governor Spencer Cox delivered a message for young Americans about political violence after he announced there was a suspect in custody for the assassination of conservative activist Charlie Kirk. NPR's Sage Miller has more.
Governor Cox spoke to a crowded auditorium at Utah Valley University.
To my young friends out there, you are inheriting a country where politics feels like rage. It feels like rage is the only option.
Cox, a Republican, encouraged young people to choose a different path, referencing a comment Kirk made before his death about how society has to get back to having reasonable agreement where violence is not an option.
Your generation has an opportunity to build a culture that is very different than what we are suffering through right now. Not by pretending differences don't matter, but by embracing our differences and having those hard conversations.
While Kirk could be a divisive figure, Cox and others have applauded his willingness to engage with those that disagreed with him. Sage Miller, NPR News.
Erica Kirk, Charlie Kirk's widow tonight, delivered her first public statement since the assassination of her husband in Utah Wednesday. Speaking on Fox News from the Turning Point headquarters in USA in Phoenix, she said the work of her husband and the work of the organization he founded will continue, and she encouraged young people to get involved.
The movement my husband built will not die. It won't. I refuse to let that happen. It will not die.
President Trump says he will attend Kirk's funeral, but arrangements have not been made public. A judge has temporarily blocked the Trump administration's new conditions for funding to address homelessness. NPR's Jennifer Ludden reports the changes would restrict money to places that support Trump policies.
At stake is $75 million to build supportive housing. The Federal Housing Agency, HUD, set new conditions based on things like immigration policies, transgender rights, and homeless camping bans. It would mean service providers in places like California, with the bulk of the country's unhoused population, could not even apply for the money. Two homelessness advocacy groups sued, alleging this is unconstitutional. Now a district court judge in Rhode Island has granted a temporary restraining order. HUD did not respond to a request for comment. Homelessness is at a record high. Advocates say a key reason is the severe shortage of affordable housing. Jennifer Ludden, NPR News, Washington.
3,200 striking Boeing workers in the St. Louis area have rejected the company's latest contract proposal. It will extend the strike at three Midwestern plants that began on August the 4th. The union says the company did not meet the workers' demands for financial issues. This is NPR News. An Immigration and Customs Enforcement official shot and killed a man today in the Chicago area. ICE said he was resisting arrest in the western Chicago suburb of Franklin Park. Authorities said as agents were attempting to make an arrest, the man tried to drive his vehicle into the agents, and the agents opened fire. The suspect's car then dragged one of the officers, causing serious injuries. The Department of Homeland Security said the suspect was in the country illegally and had a history of reckless driving. In 2022, in the middle of the global pandemic monkeypox, the World Health Organization changed the disease's name to Mpox. The U.S. followed suit, but now U.S. spokespeople have reverted back to the old term monkeypox. NPR's Gabrielle Emanuel has more.
The term was retired because it was inaccurate. The virus does not come from monkeys, and because it was viewed as stigmatizing. Africans and gay men have been heavily impacted by the virus, and the word monkey has been associated with dehumanizing tropes. Bahuma Titanji is a physician at Emory University. She finds it baffling that the U.S. is going back to the old name.
No one in the research community is clamoring for this. No one in the public health community is clamoring for this.
The Department of Health and Human Services confirmed the change but did not respond to questions about why it was made. Gabriella Emanuel, NPR News.
The European Union and Microsoft agreed to terms settling an antitrust investigation into the Teams app. The EU said today the commitment to unbundle Teams was okay. I'm Dan Ronan, NPR News.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations. Other contributors include Visit St. Pete, Clearwater, Florida, where white sand beaches meet the arts, from the Dalí Museum to more than 500 public murals. More at visitspc.com. This is NPR.
Thank you.
guitarist Jim Witzel opening KPR's Jazz in the Night with his version of the Miles Davis tune Solar. It's from the Jim Witzel Quartet new album, Very Early, remembering Bill Evans and all the tunes on this album recorded by Bill on his first three albums, I believe, the Jim Witzel Quartet. I'm Bob McWilliams. Thank you for joining me on this Friday night. We'll be stretching out at the Black Hawk at San Francisco from 1959 with drummer Shelly Mann and his men. One of those men being Richie Kamuka. We'll also hear Richie Kamuka out of the vinyl vault from back in 1957, the very fine tenor saxophonist. And up next, the music of composer and arranger Bob Brickmeyer, also very fine valve trombonist. There's a tribute to KC native jazz legend Bob Brickmeyer at the Blue Room Sunday afternoon, 2 to 3:15. It's absolutely free. Carolyn Brewer will talk about Bob's life in Kansas City and a very fine band indeed, including, among others, Mike Parkinson and Brad Gregory, trumpet and trombone. Well, I should just say everybody, early Bragg's trombone, Mike Parkinson, trumpet, Brad Gregory, tenor sax with Paul Roberts, Tim Brewer, Sam Platt. It's all free at the Blue Room in Kansas City on September the 14th at 2 o'clock. That's this Sunday. And we're going to hear a Bob Brickmeyer composition and arrangement for a big band. He calls it Ho Hum here on KPR.